This Week in America with Rick Bratton. Issues that matter to you. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
From the Window Pane, a book about the pandemic by Dr. Ida Okunye-Garza, relates a young girl's eye-opening reflections about the changes brought about by the pandemic. Alyssa recounts how everything drastically changed in a day, reflecting on her experiences when her home became her new classroom. She looks out her window and sees a tree. She longs to be like it, free and without any restrictions. From the Window Pane explores the mental and emotional effects of the pandemic in a way that children can relate to. And author Dr. Ida Okunye-Garza is our guest next on today's This Week in America.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.
Have you ever met a single person in your life that enjoys paying taxes? No, no one does. If you can't sleep at night because you have a huge problem with the IRS, I've got some free advice for you. This service is strictly limited to individuals that owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes. And if you qualify, we can guarantee that you won't be writing a big fat check to the IRS or our services cost you nothing. The first 100 people that call today will get a free tax consultation worth $500. Stop worrying about your IRS problem. We can help you, we promise. Call the tax doctor right now. I mean right now to learn more.
800-263-2610. 800-263-2610. 800-263-2610. That's 800-263-2610.
Do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call. Because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at crazy low prices. They have access to great prices and discounts at over 500 different airlines. Plus 300,000 hotels and rental car companies. Their prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find the best price for you. Call SmartFares today and get ready to see the world with a fat wallet.
800-313-7757. 800-313-7757. 800-313-7757. That's 800-313-7757.
Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. From the Window Pane, a book about the pandemic by Dr. Ida Okunye-Garza, is the story of a little girl named Alyssa. She's experiencing many feelings during the lockdown due to the COVID-19 pandemic. She looks out the window, reflects on everything that is happening and the new rules in place. She's also missing her schoolmates and her friends. As she looks outside through the window pane, she sees a tree and thinks about the freedom the tree feels, wishing in a way that she was the tree. The book then reflects on the positive lessons we've all learned from the changes the pandemic brought to our lives. Dr. Ida recently retired as chief executive officer of the South Texas Coalition. She's the owner of Successful Lifestyles LLC, an educational consulting firm. She's engaged in community outreach for over 40 years, received a doctor's degree in adult education, a master's degree in counseling and guidance, and a bachelor's degree in home economics, specializing in food and nutrition. She's also authored a number of children's books, including From the Window Pane, a book about the pandemic. And author Dr. Ida Okunye-Garza joins us on This Week in America. Doctor, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
What an important book, and so well done, and the reviews raving about parents saying this is just what we need to sit and talk with our children, even several years later, trying to make sense of what we went through during the pandemic. How did you come up with the idea to write a book about the pandemic?
Well, I have to be honest to tell you that during the pandemic, I was sitting there. Generally, my backyard faces a very busy street. I looked out the patio and there were hardly any cars moving. came back, sat down, and we're watching the news. And the news story at that moment was about the problematic issues related to virtual learning and how some of the children in our region, I live in deep South Texas, were not able to access internet, and some were cut off. And the frustration that both teachers and administrators and the children and the families were experiencing because of the pandemic and because we had to keep things going. But this was a whole new platform for everybody. And so I started thinking about that. And I, as a matter of fact, I did a lot of writing at that time because we were all quarantined. And so I just, you know, started writing and writing and writing and trying to experience the feelings that yes. families were feeling. I have a neighbor who's an elementary school teacher, and she had to be in school with all the protocol in terms of, you know, the masks and the all of that, because there were several children who did not have access to internet. There were several children that had learning disabilities that needed to be on a one-on-one basis. And then she had another 12 children that were on internet. And so I could feel for her that it was so frustrating to be able to have to deal and manage all of those things at one time. And so I thought about the feelings of children. My own granddaughter, and by the way, her name is Alyssa. I used her as an example, was going through that. But luckily, her parents are both professionals, and they were able to help her through some things. There were people that I knew in the community that had a language barrier. They were trying to help their grandchildren because the parents had to work in some places. This particular family, the mother works as a cashier in a restaurant, and they were doing drive-by pickup plates and that kind of thing. Her grandmother had to take care of her and get on this tablet and didn't know what was happening, didn't know anything about the internet, didn't know anything about how to manage that. And it was frustrating for everybody. And I thought, I'm going to write about that. And I think selfishly, it was to be able to vent my feelings of, wow, we're in isolation here. And even though we have such high technology, you know, we really can't communicate well. When something goes wrong, we're not sure how to fix it. And so how do we get back into that? And the question in my mind was, what's this going to do to our progress in terms of academic achievement? And unfortunately, what I was thinking about has come to be, and children are just now coming out of that whole sort of stopping point. It was like stopping in time.
It's interesting. You really give us the perspective of a child. As adults, we were frustrated. We're trying to juggle all of our lives. We're trying to keep income. We're trying to take care of the children, in some cases teach the children. And you sort of forget the emotions a child is going through. And with Alyssa, you really capture a lot of the emotions. Talk about that, because they were going through all sorts of mental anguish, weren't they?
Yes, and the first emotion, and I interviewed my granddaughter about this, was that, oh, wow, we get to stay home but be in school.
Yes.
And when that didn't quite work out the way they thought because of the distractions at home, it was bewildering. It was like, okay, you know, after a couple of weeks, it was like, okay, well, this is okay, but when do we go back? I miss my friends. I talk to my friends on the phone, but I don't get to interact personally, and I'm scared. What's going to happen, and when is this going to be over with, you know? And I felt like I needed to capture that, because children in our times have enough fears in their life. They have a lot of stress for different kinds of reasons.
Yes.
Their own growth and development, and the growth and development of the other children around them. You know, they say kids can really be cruel, and they can be. I mean, it's part of their, in adolescence, they're part of their adolescent growth and development sort of thing. But what worried me and still worries me is the fact that when everybody leaves in the morning to go to work and to go to school, and the house stays there, and maybe the pets stay home, you know, asleep, but everybody leaves, and then all of a sudden, we were in the home, in the environment, 24/7, and not really knowing how to interact with each other. It was fun for a little while, but then it was like, I'm tired of this. The parents were frustrated with it. The kids were frustrated. There was still not any positive interaction happening because everybody was so busy. And still at the back of your mind, you're thinking what Alyssa's thinking. When is this going to be over? What's going to happen? And we heard all kinds of things about the vaccines and about, you know, the testing and where did it come from? And, you know, it was... I think fear is what can bring us down. And fear for a child helps us to understand that they're going to reach over their hand to us and say, help me. I'm totally dependent on you, just like a baby.
Yes.
And give me some strength. And when the parents are shaky about the whole thing, unless you think about it, and intentionally say, look, we're going to get through this. It's going to be okay. Let's work together as a team. But a lot of parents couldn't do that because they had their own agendas working, trying to fulfill their job responsibilities, not sure knowing how to do that. And I think the whole virtual thing, it has, you know, we've learned some positive things now, and we can do so many different things, and we're more open to that. But fear is the greatest thing that can bring us down. And if we don't have the self-esteem or the self-confidence or someone to lean on to say it's going to be okay, then it can just destroy us.
And even though
children.
Yeah, even though this was a few years ago, it's still on the minds of so many, probably now in the minds of the young child as they grow up, knowing literally in 24 hours, my world change. Is this going to happen again?
Yes.
With your book, first of all, let's talk about the age group. Who did you design this book for? What age group?
I designed it for elementary to early middle school. Elementary because... you know, it's a cliche. They're like little sponges taking everything
yes.
in. But their brains are amazing. And they can conjure up all kinds of things. But sometimes not sure how to express and how to vent and how to share their emotions. And except at extremes, either keep it in or scream it out. Instead of like thinking through the process. And I think that those elementary school children need to have the understanding that they have the strength within them to be able to withstand anything that might come about. They've got to start thinking. They've got to start being positive. They've got to see, okay, how am I going to problem solve this to make it as normal as possible? And that's who I designed it for. Of course, you know, as I say to many people, every children's book has a message for all of us.
Exactly.
And so you can live through that and read it and say, wow, I know exactly how that feels, or gee, I hadn't thought about that. So
yeah, as an adult, we'll learn something too as we go
yes.
through the book and sorting out not only our child's emotion to better understand what they went through, may still be going through, but mm-hmm. we're trying to make this adjustment too. We're still trying to bounce back from this. The country as a whole is trying to bounce back from this. It's an excellent book for the children and the family, for the adults. They can read it. They can talk about it, get all of their feelings out there, and hopefully will help for a better future. There still is a lasting impact, isn't there, too, with the educational system, with children, with families trying to recover from what they went through?
Yes. There was, as I said, a feeling of kind of exhilaration, like, oh, wow, we get to stay home. And
Yes.
then it got boring. It's like, okay, but okay, and I want to go back, but you can't. And so the whole idea of coming back has been at a snail's pace. The motivation, a little bit of motivation was lost. A lot of frustration. You know, staying glued to the screen and trying to be able to share your feelings and your ideas. Even in meetings where we, you know, I meet with a lot of committees and boards and stuff, and very often we meet online virtually, and it's not the same when you're there. The expression on your face, the gesture, the nonverbal communication is all different. And coming back from this, we know that our children have been set back a couple of years in academic achievement because of this and getting the motivation. Consequently, teachers have had to become experts in engaging those students in really, you know, kinesthetic, engaging, different learning style activities to get them involved in that whole process of learning. And it's almost like a relearning how to learn.
Yes.
And getting them, again, motivated to want to discover, to want to get to know things, to want to be involved in improving themselves and why, and finding relevance. That's the important thing, relevance for all of this. Very often, you know, Rick, we forget that the whole purpose of the public school system, of course, is education, but education that's geared to somewhere down here after you graduate to getting a job. Because when you go someplace and meet someone new, the first question that you're asked is basically, what do you do?
Exactly.
Nice to meet you.
Exactly.
What do you do?
Yes.
So the whole educational system is built towards finding your best talents, your best skills, your strengths, you know, and working on those things that need to be improved to become someone, to become a doctor, to become a plumber, to become an electrician, to become a teacher, whatever it is. And we forget to connect the dots to that. And so I think we lost a couple of years moving kids in that direction because they kind of took a back seat. You know, when we're challenged with something, you take a back seat, you look it over again, or you give up. And so problem solving is one of those 21st century skills, critical thinking, that, you know, is just necessary. I think the biggest thing in the future for education is innovation, you know.
Yes.
How can I teach this differently? How can they learn this differently? How can I apply it differently? How can I make it relevant? And so having all those feelings about the pandemic, those need to be put in some form of situation that'll be an outlet. You got to get rid of that stuff to
exactly.
be able to move on.
More with our guest, Dr. Ida Acuña-Garza, author of From the Window Pane, a book about the pandemic, after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.
Do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call. Because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at crazy low prices. They have access to great prices and discounts at over 500 different airlines. Plus 300,000 hotels and rental car companies. Their prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find the best price for you. Call SmartFares today and get ready to see the world with a fat wallet.
800-313-7757. 800-313-7757. 857. 800-313-7757. That's 800-313-7757.
How would you like to get high-speed internet for your home for less than $2 a day? That's right. For about $50 a month, you'll get lightning-fast internet. Are you paying less than $50 a month right now for your internet? Then call Whole Home Connect right now for blazing fast internet at $50 a month with no price increases, no hidden fees, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. It's a great deal. And guess what? You can try it for 15 days. If you don't like it, you get your money back. But you're going to love it. And you're going to love the price. Internet for your home for $50 a month. That's less than $2 a day. Plus, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees, and our 15-day guarantee. Call now. 800-915-9058. 800-915-9058. 800-915-9058. That's 800-915-9058.
Have you ever met a single person in your life that enjoys paying taxes? No, no one does. If you can't sleep at night because you have a huge problem with the IRS, I've got some free advice for you. This service is strictly limited to individuals that owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes. And if you qualify, we can guarantee that you won't be writing a big fat check to the IRS or our services cost you nothing. The first 100 people that call today will get a free tax consultation worth $500. Stop worrying about your IRS problem. We can help you, we promise. Call the tax doctor right now. I mean right now to learn more.
800-263-2610. 800-263-2610. 800-263-2610. That's 800-263-2610.
And now back to This Week in America and our guest, Dr. Ida Acuña-Garza, author of From the Windowpane, a book about the pandemic. As the teacher deals with all the emotions she knows her students are going through, she's dealing with her or his emotions, what they are going through, because what they learned, how to go about teaching, suddenly changed again in a period of about 24 hours. Our guest on the program is Dr. Ida Acuña-Garza. Her book is From the Windowpane, a book about the pandemic. You'll find the book at pageturner.us in the bookstore, of course, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all of the usual places. Links on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Talk about the format of the book. It's available, what, in English and Spanish? It's a lyrical form.
Yes, it is a bilingual book. And the reason that I did a bilingual book, and all of my books are bilingual, is because sometimes parents tell me who are not fluent in English, well, I can't help my child with reading because I don't know English. And so generally what I say is have your child read the book to you or explain it to you in English and then translate it to you. And then based on what you hear, ask questions. But this way, there's no excuse for not being able to interact with the child. And of course, every literacy awareness tip is you must read at least 15 minutes every single day to get better at reading and to get better at writing. And that's part of the engagement part of parents being involved in their kids' education. And, you know, when that happens, the child is more apt to achieve academically in a more positive way. So that's the important thing. Yeah, that's the format, English and Spanish.
The book has illustrations in there. It is so well done. And the book is available, again, wherever books are sold, From the Windowpane. In reading reviews, people really like the conclusion. You sort of tie everything together and sort of self-reflection as to what we went through and how this will make us better for the future. Talk about the positive aspects that you conclude with, that what we can piece together that we can grow from.
Well, one of the things that I wanted the book to focus on is the family unit and the fact that if we can be honest and share our feelings, then we can become stronger together. and we can understand what's going on. And, you know, it's better to tell a child. Sometimes children expect us to know everything about everything, and we can't do that. Sometimes you have to say, you know, I'm not really sure. And this is how I'm feeling about that. Social-emotional learning is so powerful in helping us self-reflect and moving on. And Alyssa in the book, you know, when she looks out the window pane, she sees this tree that's waving in the wind. Just wonderful. Just yes. Like, you know, and she's saying, oh, I wish I could be that tree, tall and strong and free. Instead of being here, I would love to be out there. And yet, from the family, she learns that, you know, someone was lost. We lost people to the pandemic, and how the family dealt with that. And also that we became stronger by uniting together and helping each other. I know my neighbors came together here in my neighborhood and brought over food and said, you need anything? Are you okay? You know, if you need anything, just call. And it has made us a closer neighborhood. We've always been pretty close, but even closer because there are some new people that came in. And we learned about the fact that there's a lot more to know about technology than when we're ready to.
Exactly.
And so that we need to keep up with that. And that's so important. And that our children need to keep up with that. And that there's so much to learn still out there that we don't know everything about everything. And it taught us about our personal hygiene, you know, washing your hands 20 seconds. I have that timer on my watch, and sometimes it frustrates me because it says, you stop washing your hands, why did you do that? Or good job, you did it.
Well, yes.
But some of the positive things related to the feelings that we shared, the value of the family, the importance of staying together, working together, and being a team and moving forward. And if we could do that for every single family and do it in a positive way, what a great world this would be. Communicating, you know, how we feel and what we need to do and what needs to happen. And so I'm hoping that the book will tell that story and will help people understand that what happened did happen, and we coped with it. We dealt with it with all the positive and with all the negative. We've, you know, have a new way of communicating now virtually. And we can do just about anything virtually. And that was a whole other learning curve for so many people.
Yep. Yes.
But I think it was a positive thing.
The book is From the Window Pane, a book about the pandemic by Dr. Ida Acuna Garza. Her book is available wherever books are sold. Links on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. A couple minutes left in the program. It's gone by too quickly. How's Alyssa doing now?
She's doing fine. She's going into her first year in high school. And she's very bright. One of the things that she learned to do while she was home during the pandemic was create and edit videos. Her dad my son is a graphic designer, but he says, you know, I see some of the videos that she's done, and I didn't show her half of that stuff. She's done it herself. And she has one that's, you know, about self-reflection. And she's into the fine arts, and she sings and she dances and, you know, does different things. But she's doing fine. She's stronger, I think, as a person because of that, and because she's able to share through her videos. And that's her outlet.
You'll find all of the information on Dr. Ida's books by going to Amazon. You look for From the Window Pane, click on the author's name, and all of the books will come up there. And we'll have a link on our website as well. This book, From the Window Pane, a book about the pandemic by Dr. Ida Acuna Garza. The book available wherever books are sold, pageturner.us in the bookstore, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Links on our website. Would love to do it again and talking about some of your other books. Thank you for being with us.
Make sure you like This Week in America on Facebook, and also you can follow This Week in America on Twitter at TWIA Radio.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.